You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. It's time for the match preview with me, Andrew Musgrove, and John Gibson, coming to you a day later. We thought we'd do that because Newcastle don't play Chelsea, of course, until Monday night. So we thought we'd wait until we heard from Eddie Howe to see if he said anything groundbreaking. And actually, by Eddie Howe standards, it was quite an interesting press conference. And there is quite a bit to talk about, and we will get into it. First off, John, you keeping well?
I am excellent. All the better for the last result, of course.
Indeed. It's been not a bad couple of weeks for Newcastle United. And John, of course, talking there about the performance and result against Wolverhampton Wanderers. And Newcastle, as we say, go down to Stamford Bridge on Monday night. So they've got a few extra days of recovery from that game against Wolves. And they're putting quite a shift. And that's where we'll start, John. I mean, do those extra days rest, will that be a benefit to Newcastle?
Yes, I think without a shadow of doubt it will be. And they're going to be in the right frame of mind. And that, above anything, is what's important. Because against Wolves, we got back to the way it should be, which is A, we score goals, and B, we keep a clean sheet. It's a long time. We've scored goals recently, but it's a long time since a clean sheet. But to score three and let in none is ideal. Yes, we would have took a scrappy 1-0 with an OG, but it's much better to do it the way we did it. And I thought it was quite convincing. There was a lot of pluses on various parts of the pitch. There was tactical tweaks by Eddie, which I was very pleased to see. It made it difficult for teams to run through us. We sacrificed being on the ball as much as we used to be, but that was good because it made us tighter at the back and we hit them on the counter. And with the pace we've got going forward, we're capable of doing that. And so all round, I thought it was a good day.
It certainly was. And it was like you've alluded to there, the Newcastle United of old was back. But I did say on the Monday show with Aaron earlier in the week that I wasn't going to let myself get too excited about it because I want to see a bit of consistency. I think even, who was it on, was it Kieran Trippier when he picked up his award for North East Football of the Year? He mentioned about being consistent. Of course, Kieran Trippier, anyhow, has confirmed will miss the next couple of games at the very least. And we'll get onto that in a moment. But it is important, isn't it, John, that we see Newcastle United follow up that performance and win against Wolves with a win against a pretty terrible Chelsea side.
Yeah, I mean, yes, the whole trouble is when we've had wins in 2024, they haven't been necessarily followed up. And that is the problem, you know. One swallow doesn't make a summer. It's okay to produce a day like we had against Wolves, but if we then lost to Chelsea and went out of the FA Cup, we're back to where we were. And we've got to pick up again. And if we're going to make a late run for Europe, one of the smaller Europes, and that's what I'm hoping we will do, then we've got to start getting consistency big time as from now, because we've only got 11 games left. So there's no time to sort of have a couple of dodgy results and then pick up again and then hope again. There's got to be a bit of consistency. That's something we had all last season. It's something we haven't had this season. We've had great highs when we've beaten Aston Villa twice and Manchester United twice and beat Arsenal and beat Man City, beat Paris Saint-Germain. But we've also had terrible lows, you know, where we lost to Luton, we lost to Nottingham Forest, we lost to Everton, we lost to Bournemouth. You know, we can't keep going highs and lows. We've got to get off the trampoline and get a foot on terra firma and produce consistent results. And this is an opportunity to start doing that on Thursday, because the run-in in the league, the 11 games we got, aren't bad. We've only got three against sides above us, and it's the immediate sides above us, West Ham, Manchester United and Spurs. We haven't got to play a top four side. So, you know, we've got the opportunity to string some results together. It's up to us to do it. And that must start with Chelsea, in as much as we don't lose. Yes, we've got to try to win without a shadow of doubt, but whatever happens, we don't lose.
I mean, I watched Pochettino's press conference yesterday, and I'm going to play a clip from it later in the show, but he doesn't half look like a man on the ropes. And again, we'll get into that in a moment. But I just want to continue on the topic of the form. And anyhow, I was asked about Newcastle United's form of late in the press conference, which is just finished. And he said, "We are running out of games and the season seems like it has gone so quickly. We are here now with minimal games left and we are trying to maximise on every game. We have a bit of form behind us and we are still trying to recapture our best performance levels. We have high expectations of ourselves and we are not where we want to be, but hopefully we can get back to 100% as quickly as possible." That kind of started with Wolves. Like I said, we want to see that continue to grow. And the way they're going to do that is by getting these players back up to match fitness. And that's probably the one thing that stood out, John. I don't know about you, but for me, it stood out against Wolves was what Eddie Howe could do off the bench. That 10-minute period when Wolves were on top, the Brathgar having to pull off a great save, and then he makes these changes and suddenly you've got more legs about you, more energy, and you've got game changers coming off the bench, not just youngsters, with all due respect to the likes of Joe White, etc., but real game changers in the form of like Miggy, Harvey Barnes, etc. So that's going to help them get back to the level that Eddie Howe's talking about, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, where we have suffered this season is the bench. We've always, on paper, put out a decent first 11 to start a game. On paper, sometimes they haven't played well enough. Sometimes a couple of them aren't up to full fitness because they've been rushed back. But on paper, we've put out good teams. We've never had options from the bench. And I mean, you know, famously before Joe Willock come back and was so marvellous, the middle three picked themselves. I mean, Miley, bless him, for someone so young, 17, has played about 16 or 17 games off the belt. I mean, unheard of under normal circumstances for a year, however wonderful, for a lad that young. Well done him. But, you know, there was no option to that midfield. We could see Miley needing a rest occasionally. We could see Longstaff definitely needing a rest. But there was no possibility of it happening. And, you know, that's been a problem. We've carried problems about who plays centre-forward when either Wilson or Isak's been injured. We've had problems like that throughout the season because we haven't had a bench. That is improving considerably. There's no doubt that there's two players we miss absolutely enormously, and that is Nick Pope and Joe Linton. And that's not a reflection on Dubravka, who I think has done very, very well under the circumstances, but Pope's a sweeper keeper and has been a terrific part of what we are. And Joe Linton is still the midfield powerhouse that we require. So those two are still huge misses, but we're getting there, and that's terrific.
And does that excite you, John, knowing that now Eddie Howe has these options to change a game in his favour if needed?
It does, and with a little bit of caution because of the way the season is. If we get a good result at Chelsea, it'll begin to really excite me. You know, the caution is just that we've always took two steps forward and one back. this seesaw season, and I want to see a bit of consistency. And a lot of people were doom and gloom before Wolves and suggesting that we could easily lose to Wolves. Now we're going to march on Europe, and it's typical Geordies, aren't we? We're all the same. We're either desperate for something to go right, or we think this is the birth of the club we love and adore. And the truth is probably somewhere in the middle there. Once I get a bit of consistency, I will be excited. But I'm cautiously optimistic, which is a better phrase than excitement, at this stage today.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I share that, and I am optimistic about Monday night. I think Chelsea are pretty dire, and the atmosphere surrounding the club and the manager isn't good, and that's something Newcastle United have got to tap into, because that's something Newcastle United have had all the way through is unity. Even when it was really bad, you know, the majority backing Eddie Howe, backing the players, and Pochettino just doesn't have that down there, and we'll get on to him in a moment. But Kieran Trippier then, John, confirmed that he'll be missing for at least the next two games, which is a big, big blow, but softened somewhat by the knowledge that you have Tino Livramento to replace him.
Softened considerably, I would suggest, and that is taking nothing away from Trips, because Trips has been fabulous since he come to this club. But if there's one position where we perhaps can manage an injury, it is at right back, because of Livramento, who has hit the ground running up here. I mean, he has had a tough start to his Newcastle United career. He stood in at left back, he's played in a advanced position as a winger, he's played at right back, which is what he is. And you know what? Whatever position he's appeared in, he's looked comfortable. And that is because he's an athlete. And he's got an elegance about him. He runs beautifully, doesn't he? He looks like an athlete. And, you know, okay, he's replacing Trips. He's the assist king of Newcastle United and of the Premier League. I think he's got more assists in the Premier League than anyone else. But, you know, when you look at Livramento, look at him at the end of the Wolves game. He ran from his own half into their box and finished. And he went past a couple of players in doing. He played that instant like a winger, as good as a winger, as good as Gordon or Almiron or Murphy. They wouldn't have done any better in that position. He looked terrific. And well done him. And he has got that about him. So I don't worry. He gets some of the big matches, doesn't he? I mean, he doesn't spare him. I mean, he bought him in at Arsenal, and he's now going to have to play at Man City. You know, he doesn't get too many easy runs. But no, I've got great faith in him. And I would expect that to, outside of an injury that Eddie hasn't told us about, and we've always got to say that, because that's always the case with Eddie. You know, he'll tell you afterwards somebody's been ill for 5 days, and we have no knowledge that was so. So outside of a surprise like that, I would expect the only team change to be Livramento for Trippier.
I mean, the other area where he could change it potentially is Miguel Almirón in for Jacob Murphy, but Eddie Howe doesn't tend to change a winning side, so I can't see that one happening, but maybe that is the only other area he might switch up, because as you say, the rest of it kind of picks itself. But I mean, Livramento, he's going to go up against, well, it's not easy to actually kind of determine who he will actually go up against, because my initial thought, having not watched much of Chelsea, you know, I only see what you see on Match of the Day,
of course,
was that Palmer kind of plays out on that flank potentially. But he started, according to the BBC, up front alongside Jackson against Brentford, and it was Chilwell who started out on the left. Now, Chilwell will be injured. Pochettino has confirmed that, so he's likely to be missing. Gallagher's had a virus. He started pretty much every game for Chelsea this season. It obviously linked to Newcastle quite a few times, but it'll be interesting to see if he recovers from this virus. So I was going to make a point about him having a tough day against Palmer, but I'm not really sure he'll end up playing there. But look, Chelsea've got talented players, haven't they, John? And everybody in black and white's going to have to be on their game to
make sure they get
the better of them.
While we're optimistic because of what happened with Wolves, and while we're looking at Chelsea and saying, oh, they're dodgy and the crowd's turned against them, and they certainly have. I mean, the away crowd, Chelsea crowd, that went to Brentford was hammering the manager and the owner. And I can understand it with the owner hugely. I think any manager would struggle under this owner, and as it's been proved with Potter and et cetera, et cetera. It is very, very difficult. But let us not underestimate what on any given day Chelsea can be. They're the sort of side that will get turned over, and they're not the old Chelsea by any means. An embarrassment if you look at the Abramovich sides of old, who won trophies left, right and centre. But on any given day, they will produce results. And if we aren't on our number one game, they will get a result against us, because they're capable of doing that as a one-off. They're not capable of doing that consistently, but as a one-off. I'm delighted that Gallagher, from our point of view, not him, bless him, is not feeling too well. And I hope that goes until Tuesday morning, and then he's fabulous after that. But, I mean, for me, the two guys that I would be concerned about is Gallagher and Palmer. Because a lot of the others, Raheem Sterling is not anything like the player he was at Manchester City in this current regime. Jackson is very hitty-missy. Is a centre forward. I mean, there's so many of them that are just beneath par. I'm hoping Thiago Silva comes back, because he's got a mistake in him at 39. And if Isak can run him to death if he plays. So I'm hoping he does play. He's been a wonderful, wonderful player in his day, Silva, but his day was a couple of years back. It's not now. But we've got to have a bit of caution. I don't mean in the way we approach a game. We've got to approach it front foot. But we've got to be on our blob. If we think we just turn up and leave with 3 points in the escape, then we could be in trouble, because on any given day, they can produce a performance. They just can't do it consistently. And I'm not the way the clubs run from the top, that's what's filtered down, the way the clubs run from the top. And the managers got caught up in that. But I think any manager, you look at what the reputation Potter had before he went there. You look at the reputation Pochettino had at Spurs. And all this struggle in this current regime, and I think any manager would.
Well, I couldn't understand why Pochettino went to Chelsea. I thought there was far too many fires to be put out before you could get anywhere near a working project. And I think the point we're making is that they've got individual talent there, John. I mean, you know, Fernandez, a good player. You've got Gusto, another talent player. They have got individuals, but they're not a team. And that's where their downfall is. And I think Newcastle can really get at their defence. You know, Chawla or Colwell at the back, Diassi, you know, they're vulnerable. And Petrovic isn't really setting the world alight between the sticks either. So there's a lot of positive reasons that I'm looking at for Newcastle getting all 3 points here. I'm feeling it on Monday. But you mentioned Palmer, and there's a lot of talk about the England squad, John. The next England squad will be announced on Thursday. And Anthony Gordon, will he, won't he? He should be.
Yeah.
In my opinion, he probably won't be, because Gareth Southgate, for whatever reason, isn't picking him. And yet he's the in-form winger, Saka aside. But it's really going to be interesting, because you would think one person, or the position that Gordon's battling for, is the same position Palmer's battling for. Two talented players, but there's one man in really good form and one man in not such good form. Yet, if I was a betting man, I'd be betting for Palmer to be in the squad on Thursday and Gordon not to be. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that will be so. I don't think it ought to be so. I think it will be so. Because Gareth Southgate is a belt and braces man. Whatever he does, he sticks with, as often as not. I'm quite happy for Anthony Gordon not to be in because we've had enough injuries this season. I don't want to risk another one. I feel for Gordon because he deserves to be in. And the problem is Saka, of course. I mean, yes, he should be in the squad. The problem for getting in the team is Saka, of course, who's having a wonderful season with an Arsenal side that just score goals for fun. So that is his main problem, but he ought to be in the squad. There's no question about that. But he's exhausted enough, you know. The way he plays 100 miles an hour. He plays it magnificently. He doesn't shirk a solitary single thing. He comes off at the end of every game, either a few minutes before the end or at the end, absolutely shattered. And therefore, I don't want him to play too much because there's still a lot for us to play for up here. And I'm very biased in favour of Newcastle as opposed to in favour of England. So I'm happy if he doesn't. But the kid off deserves it. There's no question. That.
It's interesting you should say that because Eddie Howe was asked about it in his press conference and he said, he said, I would say don't focus on England, focus on your club form and everything else will take care of itself. And he's doing just that. And, you know, it's based on his club form that pretty much everyone in black and white saying, how isn't he in the England squad? But I get the point as well. You know, if he's not called up for the next friendlies against Brazil and Belgium, then there's no risk of injury in those games, and we'll take that. You mentioned.
Do you realize, Andrew, that, you know, the goals is thinking that he scored against Wolves. The number of goals he's got this season for us is quite phenomenal. Because I happen to look, I know he's a young boy, he's only, what, 23 or whatever he is, but he only scored 7 goals in the whole of his Everton career. And he's got more than that this season for us. That's how good he is, and he's put daylight between himself and Callum Wilson in second place as our second top goal scorer to Isak. And Isak and him are on fire as goal scorers. If we are going to make Europe, we're going to make it through their goals. So let's, and we know how dodgy Isak can be fitness-wise, so let's not get Gordon away from England and get him out for 3 weeks afterwards.
10 goals this season, as you mentioned there, but also it's the assists, 5 assists for Gordon as well.
That's what he's supposed to be, an assist guy, isn't he, as a winger, more than a goal scorer. But he's become a goal scorer. He is fulfilling all the potential that made us go and get him. And funnily enough, if you remember, before we got him, Chelsea were after him. When he was at Everton, Chelsea were after him. Well, they might find out that, you know, they've made 856 signings, but the one they didn't make is the best one of the lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're after everybody, aren't they? I do look at Chelsea, though, John. I think if Newcastle can show that high intensity that they brought back against Wolves, then, you know, Newcastle are going to get the better of Chelsea. You just want to see that kind of high press. Don't let Chelsea have a moment on the ball. Force them into mistakes. Because, you know, the first time Chelsea make a mistake or the first challenge from a Newcastle United player, you know, earlier the better in this game, because then you're going to whip the crowd up into some discontent. You want an early goal as well for Newcastle United and really get the crowd angry at their own manager. You've got to take advantage of that on the pitch and doing everything early, doing everything with a bit more passion than Chelsea, doing everything with a bit more fight. That's the ideal recipe for a win on Monday, isn't it?
We've got to start well, because the way you start a match dictates 90% of the time, it dictates the way the match is going to go. And if we are quite placid, if we are quite pedestrian and just sort of say, well, we'll be nice and tight for a little while and then we'll see if we're going to the game. If we let them start quite well, we could be in a little bit of trouble. If we get at them front foot, but well organised, not gung-ho. Please, please don't be gung-ho. Because if you are, they'll pick you off going the other way. Because any side would. If we are gung-ho, they'll run through us. If we're nice and tight, but front foot, their crowd will get upset, their crowd will get worried, we will dictate the nature of the game and we'll be fine. But let's not start slow. Let's not start placid. Let's not start thinking, we'll just go through the motions and this will work out fine. If we get them on the back foot, if we let them grow into the game, they'll have people that'll give us problems. Believe you me, if we let them get into the game, if we let the crowd get behind them instead of worrying the crowd by us getting at them, if we let the crowd get behind them, then we've got a fight on our hands. But if we dictate the pattern of the match from the start, irritate the crowd, make them think, oh, we've got a game on here, then they'll be fragile, they'll be brittle. But we've got to make them brittle. It's no good just going down there and thinking we'll kick off and we'll come off an hour and a half later and we'll have 3 points in the skip, because it won't work like that. We've got to make them brittle. But there's an opportunity to do that. And by the way, we are for them after the League Cup quarterfinal. We are for them big time. And that's why I want to see something happen, because we were in the semi-final of that cup. I know it was our own fault with a big clanger right at the end. But, I mean, we were there 1-0, 89, 92 minutes gone or something. And then it's 1-1 with the bloke that's scoring being one of the flops of the season, by the way. One of the big money guys that just hasn't done it for them. So there's a lot to play for in this game. And both managers need it. Both owners need it. Because we've got ambitious owners, and by Jove, their owners need something, don't they? And both sets of players need it, and the fans. So every aspect, every layer of both clubs, from owners to manager to players to fans, need a result on Monday night.
Yeah, no, indeed. I think everyone's interested, John, about this skip that you're looking around away games.
Well, they skip it to put their dirty washing in at the end of the game. If they think 3 points is going in that with the dirty shirts, it won't automatically. It'll have to be earned.
On the road, Newcastle have won three. They have lost eight. Their form in general is lost only once in the last six. So, you know, they're starting to pick up a form just at the right time, some would argue. And Eddie Howe was asked about that quarter final at Stamford Bridge, and he said it was a difficult night. We did a lot right, and that was in the middle of the injury difficulties, and we were struggling for fit players. We were so close in the penalty shootout, it was difficult, but through every difficult position is a positive one. You've just got to find it. I think Chelsea have definitely improved over the season. In the League Cup final against Liverpool, they played very well and they were unlucky to not win. Chelsea have top quality players and an outstanding manager. Now, with all respect to Eddie Howe, I think he's telling a little bit of a fib there, because Chelsea have not improved one single bit. If anything, they've regressed. And they certainly, in my humble opinion, did not deserve to win the League Cup final. They were an embarrassment in that final against a decimated Liverpool. Talented Liverpool, but still decimated. So I think Eddie Howe might be just being a little bit kind with those words about the position.
Well, you know, managers speak these days. Is, oh, we might get, I'm not talking about Eddie, but I'm including Eddie. Everybody in manager speak these days is, we might just get beat on Saturday because of any result can happen. So I'm going to make it, you can go to Sheffield United in this difficult game. Or when you go to their place, they make it difficult, be a difficult game. Arsenal won 6-0 out there, we won 8-0 out there. Difficult game though. The next person that goes to Sheffield United will be saying it's a difficult game today. You know why? If we get beat, I told you it would be difficult. It would be hard. There's no easy game in the Premier League. How often's that one now? There's no easy game in the Premier League. It's part of manager speak, isn't it? And, you know, to be taken with a pinch of salt. And I haven't heard Eddie talk prior to a game this season when it hasn't been one of the most difficult games we'll face. But then again, if you talk to any manager, including Pep and including Klopp and including Arteta, and they fly, all three flying this season, they've still got difficult games.
Yeah, no, and I get what you're saying as well. You know, they're never going to come out and say, by the way, Chelsea are just a little bit rubbish, because that is a little bit disrespectful and sets them up for a massive fall. But I think Eddie Howe will be looking at this game and thinking, you know, we've got to get the win here. And it's set up perfectly for us. An angry crowd, even before you kick off, chanting for an ex-manager who wasn't actually all that popular, you know, when it ended back then. You know, but nevertheless, some fans wanting him back and some saying they never back Pochettino from the beginning. You know, it's just made for a team to turn up, take the game to them. And if Newcastle are on form, they will get 3 points on Monday.
The funny thing is, Andrew, you know, when you were saying before then, you know, Newcastle are finding a bit of form, and if you look at it, yes. But the funny thing is that they're finding their form away from home, where they couldn't hit a barn door at the beginning of the season. And the home form's been awful. The home form, before we got the result against Wolves in 2024, was horrible. And so it still remains one win at home. But away from home, if you take out an absolute disastrous day at Arsenal, if you take that out, then they've won something like 4-5 of the last six. If you take Blackburn as a win because they won on a penalty shootout in the league, they've got a good away record at the moment outside of a horrendous day at Arsenal, and had a very poor home record that they've changed with Wolves. But they've got to keep changing that home record back to what it used to be while retaining the away situation. But it's interesting. It's fragile, isn't it? You can make a case out how we are in super form, and you can make a case out where we've only won one at home in 2024. And so you can make it out any way you like. You know what it comes down to? What we talked about right at the top of the programme. Consistency.
That's the key
word.
That's
what we've got to do, and that starts at Chelsea.
Yeah, and I will say Chelsea in the last six games have picked up 8 points, as I mentioned, Newcastle 11. So, you know, the form isn't too dissimilar. There's a couple of few points in it, but I mean, the games when you watch Chelsea, I mean, they were fortunate against Brentford. Brentford should have really been out of sight before Chelsea managed to nick it, and their performances have been pretty shocking. So that's why I am feeling confident. I think this might be the most confident I've felt in weeks.
I was going to say, you're quite staggering me, and I'm very pleased, but you're quite staggering me, because before Wolves, you were getting less and less confident and forecasting defeats before we won at Wolves, and now you're up marching on Europe. And good for you. Good for you, by the way. I love to hear all that, but it is a dramatic change.
It is. And people will be shouting, yeah, we'll go again. But I looked at Wolves and I thought, good form, manager in a good place, some attacking players who are in good form as well. And I thought, you know, it looked in their favour a little bit. But I look at Chelsea and I can't see any positives whatsoever. And we're going to have the view from the opposition, which will come out on Saturday. So everything is a day behind, ladies and gents. That'll come out on Saturday. So I'm really intrigued just to get a feel for it. But I can't see any positives. Like I say, I watched that press conference from Pochettino yesterday, and he does look like a man who knows the end is near. Talking about expectation versus reality and stuff, and I always think that's a really dangerous route to go down. There was a bit of ranting and what have you. You know, it doesn't look comfortable in that scenario. And I actually think he'll probably go in the summer. To be fair, I don't think he'll be sat before the end of the season, but I think
he will. In
the summer. But on that, look, I've got a clip from Pochettino. He's asked about Newcastle's lack of consistency, funny enough. If we had a pound for every time we've said that word, we'd be very rich out of this episode, John. I'll play the clip and then I'll get your view. So here is Pochettino asked about why Newcastle United haven't been consistent this season.
What do you put Newcastle's inconsistency down to? Are they just struggling to find the right blend? Is it injury?
Yes, that is one point. Is why a team like them is difficult to keep being consistent when you suffer too many injuries and you are so short in your squad and to deal with this circumstance. Yes, that is one of the why, you know, a team, not only them, if not different teams, can be affected on the performance and being consistent during the season.
There was Pochettino talking about Newcastle's lack of consistency, and basically, John, saying what we all know and what we all can see is that it's the injuries which has impacted them. And it goes right back to the start about what we were saying about the options that Eddie Howe has got now. And one person we haven't spoken about yet, really, is Joe Willock. And the difference he made against Wolves was there all to see. But particularly, I want to ask you, do you feel more confident about Dan Byrne with Joe Willock ahead of him?
You've taken the words out of my mouth. The minute you said Joe Willock, I was going to make the point about Byrne. Byrne looked so much better against Wolves. And yes, we were more compact. We were wanting to play more compact. We were happy to play on the counter-attack and use our pace, suck them in and spit them out. And that's exactly what we did. But Willock on Byrne's side is a bit of a shield. That's not his job. He is an offensive player, but he is willing to go the other way as well, Joe. And he's got the legs to go both ways. And it helped Byrne out without a shadow of doubt. Willock is an athlete. He's a terrific athlete. I mean, he's played three games in a week. I know we're not talking about 90 minutes every time, but he's done superbly well. And he's a big, big asset for us. And he's freshened up that midfield. The midfield was sterile. The same three. You know, they were almost out of gas, and there was no petrol station anywhere in the vicinity for them to go and top up. And that has changed with Willock in the side. And it has helped the big man. There's no question about that. It has helped the big man. But he has been a real, real asset. And he has come back and hit the ground running after a long, long time out. Quicker than a lot of players do. A lot of players have taken that Botman and Isaac when he's come back in the past, and Harvey Barnes when he's come back. You can see a bit of the rust falling off them. You don't see a lot of rust around Joe Willock. He looks the part. And well done him. And we've missed him tremendously. And he has been a massive, massive plus for us. And has got to be the first name on the team sheet, or virtually, along with Isaac, of course, because you need a centre forward. And then everybody else that fits in. But I think Willock, it's what happens to players around him, not just him. Not only has he helped Byrne, but he's released Bruno. He's released Bruno to look the player that we know Bruno is, but was big. Bruno was getting frustrated. He was getting to worry about the defensive side of midfield. He was trying to push forward because he believes that he can score goals. He was getting frustrated by everything around him, etc., etc. With Willock there, Bruno got that extra spring in his step. And I think Willock was not just a plus for himself and for the team overall, but Bruno and Byrne as individuals benefited by having him around them.
I totally agree with you. And I was going to make the point there about Bruno Guimaraes, because he will start in the centre for Newcastle United. And on the other side for Chelsea, you will likely see Caicedo and Fernandes start. Now, those two cost about four or five times the amount of money, some of the players in Newcastle's first team did. 106 million for Fernandes, 115 million for Caicedo. Now, what did Bruno cost? Around £40 million. Yeah. You've got a player there in black and white who is better than both of those players put together, in my opinion. I mean, for the price tag that they paid for each individual I've just mentioned there, and the price tag Newcastle played in comparison, what a bargain Newcastle United have got. And I think we'll see again Bruno, rising to the challenge on Monday and putting in another fantastic performance and showcasing that you don't always have to spend over £100 million to get the best man.
Well, I mean, Chelsea and Manchester United are absolute disgraces the way they've splashed money around in the transfer market and got what for it. You know, they've gone to shop in Harrods and they may as well have gone in the corner shop because they haven't got value for money. But they don't see, they don't care. They just say, right, we'll go to the next one. Here's another dollop of money and see if we'll get lucky this time. I mean, Dan Asher has got a job to do down in Manchester United, and there's a job to be done reining in the owner down at Chelsea. If ever there's been a waste of money, and if ever two clubs have proved you can't buy a barrel load of trophies, because Manchester City have bought well, you know, they might have a lot of money, but they've bought well, they've bought quality. And Liverpool have bought quality. Chelsea and Manchester United have not. We, within the restrictions we've got, because we're further down the pecking order and them in the financial fair play, etc., we've bought quality. But we've got to continue to, and I'm looking for a better transfer window this summer than we had in January in last summer. But that's a different kettle of fish. But what we've done well so far.
And one sad thing about Monday, because I don't think Lewis Miley will start, is that we won't see Lewis Miley pocketing £106 million signing Fernandes for the fourth time, will it be? Or at least the third time, because when he has faced Fernandes, the young guy from Anfield playing has had Fernandes in his pocket from pretty much the word go. And that's a testament to just how good Miley's been this season.
Yeah, I think we'll see Lewis in the second half. I don't think he'll start because we know that it'll be Longstaff, Bruno and Willock. But he'll get on. If he gets on, he can stick him in his pocket then. He can take him out of Bruno's pocket and put him in his. Pleased that it be that way. Lewis had a wonderful, wonderful season. And to play that number of games is quite incredible. I mean, he was way down the pecking order when everybody was fit, and he was way behind Anderson, and he must have played double, for example, behind Anderson, and he must have played double the games Anderson's played in his career so far. And Anderson's about 3 years older than him because Elliot's had the injury problems and Lewis has been forced to play. I hasten to add that Lewis has justified playing, but he has been forced to play. But he's justified it, and he's going to be a top, top player. But it's good for him now that he can be pulled out and put on in these games, because, you know, you can give a young man too much to do too early. You really can.
Yeah, good that he's now got the opportunity to manage him properly, and that will help him develop. Now, before we talk about Jamal Lascelles getting an extension to his contract, we just want to plug the latest episode of Gibbo's Corner. Part one came out on Thursday. And I actually got a tweet, John, on Thursday night from someone saying, where is the match preview? I need my fix. They were missing the match preview. So I apologize that it's come to you a day later. But we did put out Gibbo's Corner part one, which was all about Newcastle's finest number seven. So part one was 10 to 5. John, just kind of tell us how difficult it was to get that list of the top 10 finest Newcastle United number sevens.
It's hugely difficult, and that's what makes it wonderful, and that's what makes it exciting, and that's why I adore it, because you know why? It's all a matter of opinion, and everybody will have a different opinion. They'll all believe, I hope, that the 10 I name are 10 top quality people in our history. What order they should be in is a totally different matter, and that's what's wonderful about it, and that's what makes the podcast worth doing, because it's a subject that we all do in a pub. We all go down the pub with our mates and we say, hey, what do you think of him? And what do you think of him? And oh, Joe Linton's this, but you're forgetting about him. And it becomes a discussion that we all love. And I love it because it takes a bit of thought to decide. And because I'm so long in the tooth and I've been around so long, I've got a few stories to tell about most of them, which you can then tell. So I find it terrific, and I'm hoping that that's what listeners find good about it. And, you know, we're coming to the sharp end of it. We've told you there's the 10 to 5. And by the way, when we say number sevens, we're talking literally about number sevens, not about outside lights, because these days, it's who wears the seventh shirt. In the old days, when we were winning the cup in the 50s, the outside right wore the number seven shirt. Nowadays, you have a number and it sticks with you. It's got nothing to do with position. It's your number. And what I find is that I'm hoping some people have listened, Andrew, to our first one we'll put out and say, well, Gibbo's never mentioned him. Now, the reason I haven't mentioned him is because he's probably in the five. So wait till Sunday, have a look at the five and see what you think. The sharp end is Sunday when you go from five to one. We're now cooking with the big boys. See who they are, see if you agree.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to sit down and spend an hour doing the show with you. Well, more like an hour and a half. That's why we put it into two parts. Yeah. As John says, part two on YouTube, and the podcast channel will be out on Sunday morning from 5 o'clock. So make sure you tune in for that. Go back and listen to episode one or part one if you haven't already. I mean, it's interesting what John says there about opinion, because John's top 10 list I've taken the names John's put in that list, and then I've reordered it to produce my own list, and the list's, you know, very different, isn't it? So it kind of speaks, as John says there, it's all about opinion, and we'd love your views on that top 10 list. So look out for part two on Sunday. We're going to talk about Lascelles in a minute, but I just want to play another clip, John, from Pochettino, because I think this kind of, if you watch his body language, you watch his demeanor, you can see not all as well. This is him talking about the chance from fans in the last game, the chance for Jose Mourinho, the chance for him to get out of the club, etc. This is what he had to say about the negative chance from the fans.
It's nothing to complain, nothing to say, and we completely understand the situation, and of course the frustration, and we need to accept the criticize, and we need to accept in the way that they behave. That is the most important thing, is to accept. We need to try to improve in the way that we play and we get wrestled, and try to change this this feeling. Of course, we need our fans. Hope Monday the fans will be great and be behind us and helping the team during 90 minutes to win the game. That is so important for our player. And your question, I think we need to accept. We need to accept that this football, they are frustrated. And maybe if I was a fan, I was on the stand, I behave the same than them, you know, because it's Chelsea, because we are not matching the expectation. And that is why they react in this way. We need to accept, and yes, we need to be responsible of our, performance. And yes, we need to try, we need to work really hard to try to improve and win games, is what why they behave in this way, and that is what we need, you know, to create better relationship with our fans.
Now, I'm always intrigued to get people's viewpoint on how we think a manager should react when he's asked a question like that, because initially when I listened to it yesterday, the point that he made about maybe if I was a fan, I would understand, I'd behave the same. Now, is that the right thing to say? Because that, on one hand, comes across quite defeatist. Like, I understand, we're a little bit crap. But then I also think, well, what is he actually going to say? They're wrong? He's not going to sit there and say, we're doing really well, they're wrong. But I don't know, what did you make of his comments there, John?
Well, you're absolutely right. You're in the worst place possible, because almost whatever you say can be interpreted in the wrong way by cynics who can, I'm talking about cynical Chelsea fans who look at it and say, he's almost in a no-win situation. The win situation's got to be a Monday night, and it's got to be game day from his point of view. I mean, to be truthful, I was in a situation whereby I was veering towards Monday being a draw, but every day that passed, I was beginning to think more positive that we're going to win. And Pochettino is a man that's absolutely clincher for me to think we are going to win when I watched his press conference, because you would think there was a gallows outside of the room and that he was walking straight from the room. I mean, he's not going to inspire any of his players watching that presser, or going to inspire the fans, and really he has to inspire both, because the only people that can get him out the mess is the players doing the business, because then the fans will go with it. If they start well, the fans will stay with them. If we start well, the fans will turn on them. So we've got to make certain we start well and they don't. But yes, he looks like a man that's living on borrowed time. Quite startlingly so. And I want my manager, I don't expect them to be bouncing and telling jokes when they're in the mess that they're in, but I expect them to be defiant, Andrew. I want to see a bit of this, not having a go at fans, but I tell you what, we are going to make certain that, you know, I want to see a bit of that. I don't want to see a bit of that, you know, because that doesn't inspire any. I tell you, that inspires Newcastle United.
Yeah, it's inspired me. That's exactly why I'm feeling a little bit more chipper about it, because I watched it and I was like, hello, right, we've definitely got a chance. I was feeling all right about it, but now I'm bouncing for it. And if you want to watch the full press conference, you can head over to Chronicle NUFC on Facebook. Go on the video tab and it is on there. You can watch the full 20 minutes if you want a bit more inspiration, motivation, encouragement, any buzzword you want to use about Monday, because as you can see, it's certainly perked me up. Right, before we get your score prediction or your result prediction, John, talk to me about Jamal Lascelles. Listeners, viewers of this podcast know that I'm a big fan of the chap, Newcastle United's club captain. I was never in any doubt that the club were going to give him an extension, because I think while last summer, you know, there may have been a little bit, you know, if he stays, do we extend it? I think the performances he's put in this season in some big games, PSG at home, for example, you know, he's looked a better player. He has become a better player. He's filled in for some top-class defenders when needed to. Yes, he's made mistakes at times, Blackburn being a prime example, but everyone makes mistakes. I'm really happy that he's going to stay for another year, because I think he gives you leadership on and off the pitch. He is a good person to fill in when necessary. He can rise to the challenge of first-team football. And also, it just saves you money, because getting rid of Jamal Lascelles, you're going to have to replace him, and that's not going to be cheap.
Yep, I would agree with all you've said there, Andrew. I mean, for me, he's totally deserved the contract extension, because football's not an 11-man game, it's a 20-man game. You've got to have a bench as well, you know. And by Jove, don't we know that when we haven't had a bench this season? Don't we know that you're as good as your bench is? That, a team these days is as good as its bench. Not as good as its starting 11, as good as its bench. And Lascelles on the bench is very, very important. And therefore, I'm delighted, and I think it was automatic. I think when there was talk that we could cash in on him, which is what the talk was before he had the run this season that quelled a lot of that apprehension, it was just a matter of, if we've got to sell somebody, you know the famous phrase Eels come out with, we're going to have to sacrifice some people to get some of the people in because of FFP. And then you thought, well, who are you going to sanction to go out? And you're not going to say Bruno, and you're not going to say Gordon or whatever. So Lascelles jumped to the head of some fans' queues to cash in on. You know, and if we have to do that, then perhaps it's going to be people like Wilson Almeiron this summer that we could find ourselves willing to get a few quid in, as we did with Maxi. Lascelles wouldn't make enough to make the big difference in the transfer market, and he's too valuable to us. His leadership things are very commendable, because he's done terrific on that. His attitude stayed rock solid even when he hasn't been in the team. You know, to be skipper who never plays, that's a tough ask. That's a tough call. And for you to remain optimistic and for you to handle yourself well in the dressing room, that's tough. Because you're thinking, I'm skipper, but I'm not skipper. And, you know, do I feel a bit humiliated? Do I feel a bit where I've got to stay quiet because people will turn around and say, what are you talking about? You can't even get in the team. You know, it is tough to do, and he's handled that brilliantly well and done terrific for us. I mean, and Eddie's a very loyal man to players. He knows that we need strength and depth on the subs bench, and he's very loyal to people, and they get contracts and they stay in the club when they could easily be thrown out of the club. The interesting thing, knowing that the people that are left that are out of contract this season, I mean, it was quite obvious that Lascelles was going to get an extension. But what I'm going to find interesting is what he does with Dummett, what he does with Richie, and what he does with Gillespie. Because you could easily let them go. Or would you give them another year? Is it too late to give Richie yet another year at his age? Or do you do it for that goal he scored up here that rescued us from defeat? Gillespie has never even played in the Premier League for us, and he's been here longer than most people. But do you need a fourth goalkeeper, and is it him? And Karius, of course, is up, and there's a situation to be made there for a third keeper. But I think, you know, it's going to be more interesting to me to see Dummett, Richie, Gillespie, what he does with them. Karius may want to go because of his personal situation where his partner lives in Italy. I would be quite happy for him to be number three keeper because he's terrific in that position, third in the pecking order. No, the decisions that remain are going to be the interesting ones. Lascelles justifies staying totally.
Yeah, I think Dummett will probably go, and I would also say goodbye to Matt Ritchie as well. But as we say, we'll find out the next few months what is going to happen there. Right then, John, all that remains to be done is to get your prediction for Monday. How is it going to go?
Interesting. The first thing I would say is that we're not going to get beat. And I think that might raise a smile. You might say, oh, well. But I think that's so important for us. As a basis to start, that is so important. Because if we are going to build on the freak of good factor of Wolves and a decent run into the season in terms of the 11 fixtures, then we have got to avoid defeat at Chelsea. I had an uneasy feeling about Chelsea because it's easy to dismiss them. And then you look at the potential quality you've got and you think on any given day, if they click or they're given any sort of encouragement by the opposition, they can do a job. And I was leaning towards a draw, but every day that's passing and having watched Pochettino on his press conference, I believe that we should go and win it because that is the best result we need, and we need it desperately. And a draw wouldn't break my heart. A defeat would. But I'm going to lean for a win, though I've had a feeling for since we played Wolves that we would that it would be a draw there. Because I think they're capable of just making it difficult for us, and because we have lacked the consistency we need, and therefore a draw would be the obvious thing. But that consistency's got to come, so I'm going for a win.
I'm going for a win as well, John. I'm going to go for a 3-1 win to Newcastle. There, I've even given you a little score prediction. I'm that confident.
Well, that's good. I don't mind if it's 1-0, 89 minutes OG. They scored in 92 minutes against us in the Carabao Cup, so it would serve them right.
Yeah, it would. So fingers crossed, Newcastle now you can get the win that both me and John are predicting. I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. If you're watching on YouTube, give the video a thumbs up, hit subscribe. If you're listening on the podcast channel, thank you as always. Please leave us a rating and review. We're very close to 250 reviews on there, and if we can get up to 300, we'll run a little competition with a little bit of a prize giveaway. So if you haven't done it so far on your podcast app, please do leave us a rating and review and give us some feedback. We always enjoy watching, listening, reading, whatever you send us. So for myself and John, thank you as always, and we'll see you guys next week.
Take care.